Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this afternoon, a time that we can get together and continuing looking at the learning styles that we have and how that impacts how we teach and interact with the kids in our clubs. Just lead and guide us, Lord. Amen. Okay, so you were given this funky little learning styles questionnaire. This is not necessarily the most inclusive learning styles questionnaire. It's just something fun that I thought I could pull up to have you do. You guys have been sitting here having people preach at you or talk at you a lot, and you need to... It's funny, we talk about learning styles, but then what do with you when we talk to you about learning styles? We lecture to you. How many of you would be that auditory person who really just kind of totally functions on the learning style of auditory? Any of you, which would be kind of section number two, would be your high score? Any of you?
It was my high score, only by two.
But only by two.
I'm like 22, 24, 22, so it's like, well, I'm pretty well-rounded.
Well, there you go.
Because that writes me a lot of information to order.
There you go. So anyway, the idea here is just for you to kind of begin taking a look at what is the learning style that you have to understand your own learning style, and then figuring out, because understand that your learning style is not necessarily going to be your kids' learning styles. And the thing is, you're going to have such a multiple range of learning styles when you're teaching an honor or doing your IA class, that how do you keep everybody engaged? So why don't we just talk a couple moments about how do you keep kids either in an honor or in IA when you're having to do all this writing and responding? How do you keep them engaged?
Give them creative ways of doing it.
Okay, creative ways of doing it.
So like, or having to do their journaling, if they want to draw a picture of how reading a Bible passage made them feel, or what they see when they read that Bible passage versus writing out a journal.
Okay. All right. Any others?
I think one real important thing is to have an interest or an enthusiasm as a teacher.
Okay, so it's important. Let me repeat for the people who might be hearing this recording later. You said that it's allowing them to draw pictures instead of writing, or whatever prefer. And you're saying that, I'm sorry, your thought just left my mind.
Having an
enthusiastic teacher. Correct. Okay.
With IA, I tend to do all three options. Write it, you can draw a picture, you can tell me and I'll write it.
Okay.
Just cover it.
All right. How many kids?
Good idea, because a lot of kids struggle with the actual writing aspect.
They do. Yeah.
I would say to kind of not focus, like just have like 5 or 10 minutes for each, so they're not getting like bored with it, and then come back to it for the next few minutes.
Right. But do you ever feel that pressure of that timeline of getting the stuff done? So how do you balance getting the stuff done, but allowing for, you know, shorter periods of time maybe of doing things? Do you have any ideas or solutions?
Well, instead of spending 20 minutes doing it of your hour, you can spend 10, and then you can come to the end and spend another 10. So it just breaks it up.
Okay.
So it just doesn't get, it's not so monotonous.
Right. Now, I, as a leader, would struggle with that. Luckily, right now, I'm not having to teach IA classes because I've got enough staff to do that for me. Because I'm such a mess. I'm like, okay, let's go get it done, move on. But I don't want to have to come back to it. But I have to be cognizant.
I'm like that in most things.
Yeah, but I have to be cognizant of what the kids need. We've got, I'm thinking, 3 or 4 kids right now who have some learning challenges. And so trying to meet those needs has proved to be challenging and interesting all at the same time.
That's how I got to the verbalizing option, because I didn't want them to be singled out in their inability to write it.
Yeah. Yeah. Carla?
Suppose you attend it home for them to do, and it maybe come back. You find that, says the one from Facebook, you find that they usually write the same thing by the DVD? Like it is. Instead of what you journal, each page is like, Jesus loves, the same, they don't give any thought. It's obvious who has thought.
Well, so Carla's saying is that, how do you deal with the challenge of when you send something home for the kids to do, and it comes back and everything has the same answer?
Basically.
Yeah, like, does anybody have any of those? How many of you actually send work home for the kids to do? You? Correct, it doesn't normally come back. Yeah.
We had to do a butterfly book, and we only had to do one for my four kids, and it was homework for us to do, and it took a long time for us. We finally got it back for a messenger. We gave it back.
Yeah.
We finished.
Okay.
So much. I don't myself have to teach what my children do in school. My neighborhood.
Okay.
I want to send something home.
You're the parent we all want, because if you make your kids to do it, you're the parent we want, because we've got parents, they're like, my kids got their regular schoolwork, or they've got this, or they've got... I have two kids in my club that I think every possible after-school activity that they can be in, their parents have put them in. And I think to myself, why? Because they're just caught... In the winter, let me see. In the summer, it's softball and soccer, and that's more of the wintertime one. And then there's, and then wintertime there's basketball and hockey, and fall there's football. I mean, seriously, every single possible after-school sports, and then let's add that on top of it as well. And then they come to me and say, I don't understand why my kid doesn't get their, why they didn't get invested this year. And, why is that? And when I had the teacher go over with me what these two kids were missing, I'm like, that's like 85% of what's required. So, there's these challenges that we face, and we have to figure out how we're going to grapple with them.
So that's what I was trying to teach with yesterday when I mentioned that, I told her, my kids to do this. And they said, you're pushing us to do that, but, even if you don't do it, we still get invested.
Yep.
And I said, I am frustrated because I said, if I told the teacher, you don't do this, I'm not going to invest you.
Right.
I don't need to know whatever the parents are going to say. I'll tell the parents, this is what the work is required, and if you don't do it, you don't get the honor.
Right.
Because I do teach somewhere else, not that kind of, but when the kids come, they don't have the work done. I feel like it's unfair to them to give them, a reward.
Right. So, that is a challenge that we're facing, is having, how do we have a solid standard across the club when it comes to what the expectation is of what gets done? Everything in the book, does it 75 or 80% of the book, of the journals that they have to do? So these are things that we have to kind of really grapple with, because this is what this one mother told me, because she says, last year they didn't complete their readings and they still got invested. I went, oh goodness, no, I didn't want to hear that, because I've had the same teacher in that class for 2 years, and that means that I got to go have a chit chat. And that teacher, in fact, this last investiture, had told us that all of his kids in his class had earned the advanced. And we're putting together the packets for investiture And I said to my the secretary of the club and who orders all my patches, and I says, wait a minute. I says, I know for sure for this, for the companion class, for to get the advance, you have to do the cultural diversity honor. Absolutely know that 100% sure. I said, did they do the cultural diversity honor? She looked in her books and said, no. I said, pull the advance bar for everyone. Now, this year, we've also added an incentive. If you did the advanced work, you get to go on a bowling party with us. And they have till actually the end of this month to complete that before we go bowling. And believe me, we have a really small number this year. But they're going to come back and they're going to tell everybody what a great time they have, because every time we have a party and Miss March is in charge,
it's a party.
It is a party. So this is just kind of some ways that can be done to help combat some of those things.
I was going to say, sometimes doing group activities, or when you're going out, like we also picked out, we were doing home visits and stuff, and we did the Christian visitation model with them.
Mm-hmm.
By doing that, but it was kind of hands-on practical application.
Right. Absolutely. And in my opinion, if you can come up with even a way to do more than one thing at one time, take advantage and do so, just like you pointed out, because that makes the most of your time. And if the parents see that you're working hard to make it so they don't have to, you don't have to send them home with homework, the parents may become more willing to say, oh, well, okay, I'll agree to this extra meeting. And that's what we tell them. Because normally I'm not, hadn't been big on meeting on Sabbath, just because I like to go home and have lay activities in my own way. as my husband says, a hike to the water spring or the bed springs or something like that. But but I have gone to doing some Sabbath meetings, and I was beginning to hear a little bit of rumbling from parents. I said, okay, if you can promise me that every time we send home stuff that they need to do, that it will come back completed, I had no problem getting rid of the one meeting on Sabbath. You know what? All of a sudden, they have no problem with that Sabbath meeting. Because they know they don't have the time to do it. That is correct. Well, actually, we do them in such a way in our church, because I go to Stevensville, and the majority of us who go to Stevensville do not live in Stevensville. We all live in the Greater Berrien Springs area. Most of us live, like 85 to 90% of us live in the Greater Berrien Springs area. And so we all travel at least 20 minutes or more to get to church. And I can tell you, we have potluck, and then there's meeting. And actually, the parents are getting so they stay there and they visit. And so I think that it's kind of a dual-purpose thing. And it's very effective. Somebody else going to say something? Because then I want to get us moving on.
I was just going to ask you.
Sure, go ahead.
Because as we talk about this, I'm just thinking about this past year. We have two children that were struggling with completing their high requirements. And there was this staff meeting. We're talking about, well, they're going to get invested. That's just it. And as I look at the kids, it's like, well, these kids don't even come to church. We're asking them to have devotion all the time and to write down all these things, but the parents are not Adventists. They don't come to church. We're expecting them to do things that they don't even know how to do.
Right.
So when I look at this, it's like, you know, we are the one as leaders failing here. It's not the kids. We should be doing it with them and teaching them how to do this thing. So I think some of the time is not that we should be sending them home as a homework to do, but how do we identify these individuals, these kids that if you send them home, they won't get it done?
Right. So just to reiterate for the people who might be listening to this audio recording would be the fact that you have kids in your club who their families don't even come to church. And so how do you expect them to go home and do the devotional readings anyway when that's not being modeled at home? Do you guys have worship at the beginning of your Pathfinder meeting?
Sure.
Do you do unit time? Okay. Yes. So this is what, okay, so this is what I've gone to do. And I'm not saying I have the answers. I think that this is a time to share with each other to come up with some ideas as to how you handle different things. So what I've started doing is that our club meeting, we start on Sunday mornings, and we start at 9:30. First 5 minutes are our pledge and law and those kinds of things. And we have all the, kids are in their units. And they're in units, so like I had, let me think, I had 5 boy units this last year and 3 girl units, because I had my ratio of guys and girls.
So was this class gender?
It was, no, it was just gender. Units are just gender. So in a group, a unit, are going to be boys of varying ages. And I have a TLT leading that. And so for the last 2 years, during that unit time, and that unit time is 15 to 20 minutes, they actually, for the last 2 years, worked on an honor. The first year was, the judges of the Bible, and the second year was the patriarchs, two of the newer honors that are out. Well, this year, I'm going to move it to they're going to be doing their readings in their unit time. And so they have to kind of begin getting them doing that. And then I have the TLTs lead them in a prayer time at the end as well. So this is one way of how I've begun working on kind of addressing some of these issues as to how to get stuff done. The other thing is that I have 2 staff members who, a newly married couple last year, they go to potlucks every Sabbath, because we have potluck every Sabbath for visitors and anybody can come and bring their food. But they have told all the Pathfinders, and we've made an announcement to the families, have your Pathfinder bring their IA book on Sabbath, stay for potluck, and during potluck and after, this couple is going to be in this space over here, and they're going to help your kids.
Yes.
And that's, they've been willing to do this, and I've been grateful for that. And if they ever leave, I don't know what I would do. But, you know, some other people might need to step up and help out with that as well. But that's just really awesome. They're willing to give of themselves and to have that availability.
It's,
right. Right. But it's getting a group taken care of. You know, and so then it is. I think that this is a conversation that we have to have with our staff if you've got families like that. Is that what are we going to do to help them out? Do we change up what happens a little bit in IA? My sister is a director of a club in Pennsylvania, of which, let me see, she's got 12 kids, and 2 of them are regular attending church members. Okay? She honestly doesn't invest anybody. That's not her focus. And so we have to maybe ask ourselves, I feel that there's an importance in the Bible readings, but can we come up with other ways? Can we provide the kids with an MP3 player that's got the Bible readings on them? And all they have to do is listen to them. That's one of the things we have gone to doing for a couple of our boys who don't read. Phone apps as well. Yeah.
Go camping or going out to
travel. Oh, yeah. So it's just a way of being kind of creative and learning how to be creative and doing this. I need us to move on, so just a couple more comments.
Now, one of the subjects for the kids in the school that happens is called. Just like Marsha said, it would be a good thing to give them some, you know, MP3 players that have the Bible or something they can use to do their devotion. But one thing that I'm always standing against is the fact of giving these children the idea that they may not do anything and then get a spectacle reward.
Right. Now, there needs to be a level of involvement and of doing things. We're actually in our club discussing do we expect 100% of the IA book done? Or are we saying that it has to, all the honors have to be done and like maybe 80, 85% of the readings? We're talking about that.
What's the percentage for master done?
Pardon?
How much do we have to complete to become to get
master guide? Yeah. But see, this would be for like the kids that are in friend and companion. And every level you go up, that percentage needs to go up with that. That is correct. Like, I had TLTs ask me this year, well, why don't we get a good conduct medal anymore? Because your good conducts only go for your first four levels. You only get a star for up till Ranger. After Ranger, you no longer get a gold star for your conduct bar. I go, because it's just expected. Oh, I says, listen, you see that braid on your shoulder? You don't have good conduct. I'm taking your braid. Oh. Okay, Julie, one more, and then we're moving on.
It's one thing that might help is if you pair people, kids up or adults with kids, and call them.
Yeah, we do. Yep, if you're in our club, if you're in PBE, yeah, that takes care of a lot of things right there when it comes to those readings because they're studying hard for PBE. All right, I'm going to move us on. I know there's so much. Yep. Oh, but they have to reach. They have to reach conference level. Second one. So they have to pass area, which is pretty much everybody passes area. Pretty much. I say pretty much, not every time. All right, let's move on. Okay, in your handout, I think on the back of the first page or the second page, because some of you received just single-sided papers, there is what's called the CPR technique. This is not cardiac, pulmonary resuscitation. CPR, the C stands for content. So this is where we're back to talking about learning styles and how do we get learning across. So content, this is where the information that is transferred to the learner. So you're the teacher. So the content is the information you're giving to the kids. Now, how many of you, when you're teaching an honor, go to Wiki page or Wiki books and you just copy the answers? You make your kids write all the answers? Okay, let me give you a suggestion. Because how much time do you spend spelling? Okay, what we've gone to doing is that I require all of the people who teach honors to create a worksheet for the honor. And that worksheet, yes, I go to Wikibooks and I copy all the answers, but what I will do, some of the places, I will then just take out some of the key words. And then I will make a directory or a glossary. Thank you. The word was not coming out. I would just create a glossary. And so that way when they get the correct one, you know, when they say, okay, it's this one, they know where to how to spell it. It's right on their sheet. Or I will make the answers, or I will make it like a multiple choice or even a matching that they have to do. That way they're not having to write. I have one boy, he was in Friends this year. His first couple weeks of coming to Pathfinders, he was leaving and I found out later, he was crying all the way home because he doesn't write well and he doesn't spell well. 10 years old, struggles a little bit. So, and plus he was so embarrassed to have his dad or mom sit in the class, and they were willing to sit there and help him out. So this really solidified in my brain the importance of doing this. And he improved by like 80 to 90% over the year in his spelling alone, in his confidence in getting their answers correct by doing that. So no, I still use WikiBooks. I think that's an awesome resource, but it's how I create that worksheet, because we were finding that if they're writing all of that, we were spending so much time. It happens during the class. So the teacher is talking to them about a certain honor, you know, and they're going over the things. For instance, duct tape. We did this last year. Duct tape's very near and dear to my heart. So there's three things that make up duct tape. You have your adhesive, your fabric backing, and the coating. And so instead of having them, I made them write those out. But then when it came to the history, I just had the key points that they would go in and fill in dates as we were going along, or other information that I was teaching them. So that's just something. And then we have in our possession, they put their name on it, it's filled out, we know who to order honors for. That's turned in. That is correct. Actually, the teacher has to sign off of it to make sure that they have finished the project or activity that they've had to do. So like with duct tape, we're waiting for them to finish their boats before we sign off on them. So. Oh, no, they have to float it. Yes, Carla.
Is there a duct tape?
Not yet.
What do you think we should do?
Carla, talk to me later. I have to decide. I'm actually working with one of my kids on creating another honor.
Okay.
No, I wrote the duct tape honor. That's why it's so near and dear to my heart. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's fun writing an honor. Yes. Oh, well, that's a whole other problem I can't help you with. All right, so that's content. The second one is participation. Participation is where you need to have the kids actively doing something so that they're not just sitting here listening like you all are listening to us today. All right, and then the revisit, you need to have them respond in a way of which it's their own words. Len, is it Len, right? Like you were saying that you allow them to give you an audible report. That's them re-saying it in their own way. Okay, so I now want you to take 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. Think of an honor that you would like to teach. If you need me, we can pull up, or we can just assign you honors. But I would like you to just kind of do a quick little lesson plan as to how you would apply the CPR technique. What would you do for content? What would you do then for participation? What would you do to revisit it? For teaching an honor. You can do it how you're going to teach origami. There you go, Julie. You're teaching her origami. So think of an honor that you would like to teach, and let's go ahead and do the practical application of doing the CPR technique. Okay. Does anybody want to talk about, shall we just kind of talk through your honor and see what you would like to do? Okay. What do you have, Len?
Our plastics honor, if you look at it, it's lesson written in the 60s.
The what honor?
The plastics honor. Did you guys even know there's a plastics honor?
Plastics?
There's a plastics honor, and it was written in the 60s. Materials that kids are no longer supposed to touch. Things that we have since found out are carcinogens and dangerous for them to handle. So it's one that I'd like to fix.
And it's just plastics?
Yeah, it's just plastics. It's also the materials that are available now are very expensive because now there are safe options and they're super expensive. It's got like a $60 honor if you want to do it per person. It's brutal, as written.
So it's plastic embedded.
It's plastic. That is some of the experiments you have to do. It's focused on embedding an item, like stealing. You see, like the spider in the clear bubble.
Yeah, oh,
it's
okay.
It's really focused on that.
Yeah.
Bubble materials are very.
It was made in 1961.
There you go. It's old.
Oh yeah, I can see why.
I'm working on rewriting it.
Awesome.
Modernizing it, focusing more on recycle codes and the importance of plastic and values of plastics, the difference between thermoset and thermoplastic. And so for content, we would go over those things, videos of things happening. They love watching Legos do these. It's their favorite plastic product that there is, and finding out, you know, how that happened.
And, you know, when you say that, showing a video, a short video, as a way of distributing content is very useful. It is very effective. For the duct tape one, there's two videos that I really kind of go to. And one is a tour of the factory in Ohio, a short tour that they go through all of that and how duct tape is made. And another one is a clip either off the Red and Green show coming out of Canada or Mythbusters. Yeah, so the kids really like that. So very good, Len. Okay, go on.
So then, and then you kind of focus on the main component, which is the material, heat,
right,
and a mold.
Okay, yes.
So then, and then in the participation stage of it, basically a glue gun is a tiny little plastic injection molding machine. And they're cheap and easy to get, and there's glow-in-the-dark glue, there's glitter glue, and the silicone molds, you know, that they have for gummies and ice cubes and stuff work perfectly for that. So they make their own parts and make their own shapes, and they get to pick what they're doing and colors and those kinds of things. And then while they're doing it, they learn, because I'm telling them, go slow, make sure it's melted so that it all flows together, and they're not hearing all that, right? And they get excited, and they're squeezing like crazy, and then their parts will come out so great. So then the revisit part is, how could it have been better? What did you learn while you were doing it? How do you make something look more like the label that you had in mind?
That is really awesome. Mm-hmm. Next time you do that, if you could video record that, that would be great.
Okay. I did it. The pilot program I did actually did it in public.
Oh, that's just awesome. That's awesome. I really like that. And that is so true. That is so true when it comes to these honors. Many of them are very old, and you go to look at them, and you're like, especially the computer one, I think they talk about a floppy disk. you know, and so there's this, you know, how do we keep these honors fresh? And so it is, and I love that idea. I love what you're doing with that.
We did the original in Grand Rapids before Oshkosh 09, and everybody wanted to do it because nobody knew what it was. And when we got there, it was like, what's that? And it got them a lot of attention. So digging up these old ones and modernizing them.
That's another thing I'll talk to Tracy about.
But we were moving and I was getting things out and I pulled out, you know, 3.5 from college sitting on my desk. My nephew comes over. He was a senior here at the time and says, oh, cool, you 3D printed the save button. That was his only concept of that shape, is it's the save button.
Oh.
It made to look like a 3.5-inch floppy.
Oh.
I've never actually seen one.
I know. Yeah. What are kids? Okay, does anybody else do an would like to talk about what they honor they chose and what they would do? Anybody? Do you have one?
Not really. I'm not really familiar with a lot of honors.
Okay.
I kind of looked at the first aid honor, and I think that can be really hands-on.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm very much a hands-on learner, so I would enjoy teaching that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When you teach the first aid honor, you have a lot of the supplies there. Split them up into groups and allow them to practice. Absolutely. When we did our first aid honor this year, one of my staff members, her mom lives on the other side of Chicago, and she comes over a lot, and she's a nurse. And what they did before they went through this, they, pardon? Oh, no, they're not. But what they did is they set up a scenario in our kitchen, and they had some injuries happen in the kitchen, and they heard this scream, and all the kids were supposed to go into the kitchen and see what had happened. It was so realistic that we had one of the adventure kids, because it was a non-adventure day. She was there because her brother and her dad are in Pathfinders, and she stepped into that kitchen first. And she saw that, and she busted out crying. And we're like, oh, it's all right, Aurora. It's all right. It's not going to be a problem. And so we had to calm her down. So it was, we felt so bad for her because she's got such a big heart. And for her, anybody to hurt, this little girl breaks down and cries on me. So, yeah. So you kind of have to watch some of those.
We got, like, the little makeup and, like, yeah.
Yeah.
Cornstarch on the face.
Yeah.
And then, like, took some blue mascara and put it on their lips.
Yeah.
That's
so,
like,
I mean, these are.
Good idea
to
make it more realistic.
Right.
Yeah. This first aid on her was, like, 1955.
Yes.
So it probably needs to get older.
Right. But to be honest with you, first aid is first aid.
Right. Right. Right.
Some things will change.
Yeah.
Put on your gloves. Right. So, I mean, so there's a lot of fun ways of which you can do a first aid honor. And the more that it is taught by a person who works in the medical field, the kids have a huge level of respect for those people. They really do. And we saw that because I thought, oh, no, these kids are going to give this lady a hard time. No, they had more respect for her. They just really respected what she was, you know, what she was there doing. Julie, did you have your hand up for something?
Yeah, like for first aid, it has changed enough that what's written in the honor is not actually taught for first aid. If you go to a basic first aid lecture, it's actually going to be significant.
Right.
They basically tell you, call 911, maybe for the
baby on it. Right.
Right,
but the concept here with a lot of these things in first aid is that what do you do when you're out in the woods?
Right.
Yeah.
And you're
8x6.
Well, there's a fantastic program that is out right now that a lot of your ER nurses are qualified to teach called Stop the Bleed.
Stop the Bleed?
It's a fantastic program.
Okay.
They go through how to stop bleeds. They talk about tourniquet. They talk about, you know, body fluid safety.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Another honor. Did somebody have another honor?
We kind of walked through the basic sewing honor and what she discovered and plans on stuff. First, we came up with, oh, you must have tattoos on the head. And the lady said, what was the offensive required? And so, yep, it will have this required.
Right.
So there's stuff like that that's good to do, and when you heard something close to
the revisit? Yeah. So to me, a lot of the craft honors has that participation part that are much easier to do than if you get some of the others that aren't as much that way. Let me see here. Like some of these health and science ones. Okay, we've got one called Blood and the Body Defenses. Okay, so you get permission from the parents and you can poke the kids.
It's just a finger prick.
Sometimes
you get lucky, one of the kids has diabetes, so it's a big thing for them to bring in the meter and everybody gets a little
bit. Yeah. Yes. Yep. And actually, it's very interesting to tap into your resources within your own club. Because when we're talking about some of these things, like when you even mentioned the diabetes, we actually have a kid who's got a pretty difficult to manage diabetes. It's a struggle for the family, for him and his parents. And, he can fluctuate faster. And I'm getting around a lot of people with diabetes, type 1 and type 2, that I have never seen one fluctuate like his does. And they go on all of our camping trips with us. His dad goes up to TSO so he can go. And they're just always having to monitor him. And I was talking to the parents recently, and they're like, we are so jealous of families, of parents who can send their kids, because we can't do that. So, So how do you deal with those honors that basically are more what I would deem to be lecture than they are participatory?
What about skits?
Okay, skits would be a good way to do those. Right. Correct. Yes. Playing games with them is a really big way to get them to participate and to get them to solidify better in their brain. Having a little rubber ball or foam ball, like a Nerf ball, and if you have a group of kids and you're going through something, and even do this in your IA classes, and you want somebody to answer, you just toss up that person the ball. Or, because you keep them on their toes. The other thing is that I've been known to take a hat. I've got this really funky looking hat, and I'll put all the kids' names in it. And I'll ask a question, and I'll draw a name out of the hat, and whoever's name I draw has to answer that question. And I don't then say, they're done answering. I put that name back in the hat. So it's always in the hat. So somebody, this one time, I pulled this guy's name out 3 times. I thought the 3rd time he was going to cry on me. It's like, Miss Marcia, do I really need to answer? I'm like, dude, yep, there you go. And he did. And it's just like, once they kind of understand that that's the expectation, they're more apt to be engaged in those things. Yep. All right. We have like 5 minutes left, and I really think if there's no more information on honors, I was talking to Pastor Craig before doing this, and I said, Pastor Craig, what Dave talking about the session before and what I'm doing seems so similar, and I felt like I didn't want you guys to all have to go through the same thing again. But Pastor Craig and I talked briefly, and one of the things that we feel is important that we don't maybe talk about or we need help as directors and stuff is, what do you do with discipline? Pardon? It's there. We have to discipline somehow. So this was a website that I pulled up. I'd have to find that again. But anyway, so they feel that they gave these options here as things to do to help with discipline in your church club. So the first one was use proper titles. And what they meant was by, you know, addressing people as Mr. or Mrs. or Doctor or so-and-so. Now, if people address me as Mrs. Beal, I think you're talking about my mother-in-law. My last name is Beal, but I don't like getting mail that says Mrs. John Beal on it because it takes out my name, and I have a name and I like my name. So I've actually gone to having the kids call me Miss Marcia. And that's how a lot. Now, what we do at the beginning of the year, all the staff members stand up in front of the kids and they tell the kids how they want to be addressed. And it's really interesting to realize how quickly the kids catch on to that. And they do address us by that. So that's kind of our first. So it's more than just, I was uncomfortable with them just calling me Marcia, but having that Ms. Marcia or Miss Marcia in front of it gave that level of something. Yes?
How do you deal with, like, those kids who went to the past on his being, but were to be in the staff and transitioning the whole, like, because you're still going to have some of those kids that they were kids with, who will know them by their first name or whatever they would call them. How would you go through that proper title usage?
We had one last year, and I'll have another one this year. And so they're the younger ones. We do encourage them to call them Miss or Mister. Like, for instance, Kyle, a guy by the name of Kyle was my one last year. And his brother and sister are in my club.
Oh, no.
And so it's you, but the kids know that they should be calling him Mr. Kyle. Because of his level. Now, do we forget frequently? Yes. Do I forget that he's no longer a Pathfinder sometimes, but a regular staff member? Yes. So it's all a learning process. But yeah. All right. Offer incentives. So if the kids do something, or you need them to do something, offer some sort of incentive that if they get it done in a period of time, that they maybe, because, I don't know, we go for like 3.5 hours every other Sunday morning. And so we have a time in there where I just allow the kids to go outside and run. You know, get off some of those energies. Yell, I don't care. So I'll tell them, okay, if you do this and it's done in an appropriate time, then you get 5 extra minutes. Outside. Or I've been known to go buy fruit pops, frozen fruit pops, especially in the warmer months, and say, you know what, if you guys all behave today or you get this done today, then you will get this at the end of the meeting. We did the warm and fuzzies last year. Yeah.
Did everybody get one?
No.
Like four girls.
Right. You would have to come up with different incentives.
Yeah, because that's like,
no. Right. No, they all didn't get them. Some were disappointed, but they had an understanding as to my expectation, what I was looking for. Yeah.
In our adventure club, considering that we have 4 families, but there's 10 kids. I mean, it's a pretty decent size.
Yeah.
In the small church that we are. They don't know ahead of time that there's like an incentive at the end, but if they're caught, like, you know, they're participating and following directions and stuff, and then they get pulled away at the end and said, hey, you were, and then they end up getting like a piece of candy or something.
Right.
So,
how much?
In our smaller club that works, yes. You know, like, there's no food allergies, everybody's right. Okay if your kid has a Snickers bar, you know, like,
right.
In a bigger club when you don't know that.
Oh, but we do. We do.
But I know a lot of parents are more strict.
Yeah. No. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, I will spend money on the Outshine bars because they're for fruit. And my families know that. And they know that I'm very careful.
My kids would rather have a candy bar.
Yeah. But I was going to say something regarding, that just kind of, oh, how many of you do Pathfinder of the Year? In your club. So Pathfinder of the Year? Okay, well, we just say that there's 2. And some years, because I've got more boys than girls in my club, I think this year we're probably, for this last year, we're probably going to give 2 boys Pathfinder of the Year. So we don't necessarily say a boy and a girl. And the kids are aware, because every now and then we keep talking about the Pathfinder of the Year. And what... We have a staff member that him and his wife donate these. They have buy them Leathermans. Do you know what a Leatherman is? A multi-purpose tool that with a little carry thing, and it's engraved. And it says their name and Pathfinder of the Year and which year it was. This year we're going to add to it and also give them a badge that they're going to pin to their sash that will say Pathfinder of the Year and what year it was. And those only cost like $6 or something. So there's little things that you can do, but the kids begin to know. And we don't announce that Pathfinder of the Year till the following induction. So they have to wait. So what they so like for instance, we started last August, and we will do an induction this August, and at that induction we'll do Pathfinder of the Year, because we tell them it's not just what you do in the Pathfinder Club, it's also what we observe at church or other places. And so we actually, I actually will go to some of these, like the kids that are in public school. I've gone to football games, I've gone to baseball games, I've gone to band concerts, just so I can observe them in their environments, to touch on those that don't go to church school, or to be at church even. Yes, Len?
He was already establishing Grand Rapids when I took over, but we, it was just a certificate, and then I got a bunch of pins that are gold with the number sign in one,
uh-huh.
And then they are allowed to wear it on their sash.
Yeah. And the kids really eat this up. And there is speculation as to who's going to get it. And then when the deputy director and I are up front getting ready to announce it, you can really literally see the kids sit up on the edge of their seats, lean forward. And then we even know when to kind of drag it along just a few minutes to keep them wondering. And then when we do announce it, sometimes you will see, like last year, the one boy who got it was literally shocked. He just was like, had no clue it was coming. And then the girl who got it last year, you could see the heads nodding as to, oh yeah, we really expected that. But we make it very clear what our expectations are. And we announce it at induction time so that anybody coming, and that's why we do it at induction time, so that it's brand new. And the kids know, and the parents know what we're doing. Well, we are out of time, way out of time. I could talk to you about Pathfinder things for a long time. So anyway, just if you look up discipline, there's all kinds of great ideas of things that you can do. But kind of going along with things that I said yesterday about using the calmness, conflict management styles or conflict management skills will be very important to how you do discipline. All right, let's bow our heads one more time. Dear, kind, gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for being here with us today. I pray that you will be with these leaders as they go out and assist young men and women in getting to know you more. Lord, may they see you shining through us. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.